Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall, and this is the Downtime Podcast, where we take you inside the world of mountain biking. This week, Katie Winton returns to the podcast, but before that, I just want to do a quick shout out. If you follow us on social media, you'll know that I've recently been lucky enough to build up an awesome Cotic Flare Max with the help of some very generous people. I've been really loving this bike, it's made me want to ride more than ever, I've been having an absolute ball on it. The only trouble I've had is that when we were building the bike, the only dropper post that was available and would fit had 125mm drop. Now, for me, that just wasn't enough. I can't get the saddle low enough, and it's kind of stopped me being able to move around properly on the bike, and it was definitely impacting my confidence when things started to get a bit rowdy. I've been really lucky for 1UP to find out about the problem and to sort me out with one of their awesome dropper posts. If you're having a similar problem, then 1UP definitely have the answer. Their post design enables you to maximize the amount of drop. It's got the shortest inserted length, and you can also really easily shim it to control the exact drop. They've got some really helpful measurement guides on their website, 1UPComponents.com, and that will help you work out what post will fit on your bike and make sure you can get the most drop possible. So now, as a result of 1UP, I've got the 150mm drop post, so 25mm more drop than I had before. To be honest, it's made a massive difference. Getting the saddle right out of the way, it's definitely helped me feel more confident on the bike, especially when things get a bit spicy. I've also been pretty impressed with their dropper remote. It's basically like feels just like the upshift paddle on a SRAM shifter. So it's in a really nice place, super easy to get your thumb to. You don't feel like you're kind of giving up any grip or having to work awkwardly to get to it. So if you're struggling, you feel like you need a bit more post-drop, then look no further than 1UP. Check out 1UPComponents.com. and see what they can do for you. I'll put a link in the show notes for this episode too. You can find the show notes and everything else podcast related on downtimepodcast.com. There's a link there to our store so you can support the podcast, help spread the word, and help me keep this free for all of our listeners by grabbing yourself a t-shirt. There's also a subscribe page with handy links to a number of different ways to subscribe to the show, so you'll get all the latest episodes delivered to your device as soon as they're available. Oh, and while you're there, don't forget to give us a follow on Instagram or Facebook, where we're at Downtime Podcast. All right, so a couple of weeks back, I was up in Scotland for a riding trip with some friends who I started riding with over 25 years ago now. And it turned out we were staying just around the corner from Katie Winton. Katie was our most popular guest from last year, so it made sense to pop around for a cup of tea and a catch up. If you've been following the 2018 Enduro World Series, you'll know that it's been a tough season for everyone involved. So I was interested to find out how it's been for Katie, as well as finding out what it's like to be the fox at Red Bull, fox hunt, talking a bit about our off season and much more. So without further ado, here's Katie Winton. Katie Winton, welcome back to the Downtime Podcast.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And it's a beautiful sunny evening. Surprisingly so, and it's relatively good temperature for September, and we're sitting beside some washing because that's just the way it goes. Do training, do washing, that's
yeah.
It.
So. Glamorous life, right?
Glamorous life.
Glamorous,
yeah.
Location.
Yes.
good stuff. So we're going to talk a bit about this season, but before we do, let's cover some of the stuff that happened to you sort of since we last spoke through the back end of last year. So you got to be the fox at Fox Hunt in 2017 because Rachel was injured. It was a collarbone, wasn't it? I think she did at Worlds.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that. It looks like a really cool event.
Yeah, that was really cool. It was a bit of a whirlwind. It was literally, I was in finale and I got a call being like, hi, blah, blah, blah. Do you want to do Fox Hunt? If you do, let's sort it out. And so I was like, huh, okay. And then I was like, right, that's literally the weekend as soon as I get back from finale. So I was home for 48 hours and flew straight in. So I was pretty tired. It'd been a hell of a season to hold on to third and just do things I'd never done, like just ride beyond myself and get away with it. Anyway, so I was just a bit like a loss. And then I went there and it was just amazing. It was great to like get to spend some time with Rachel away from races and stuff like that. I mean, I've never really spent any time with her, but it's just nice when you're neither of you are racing, you're not in that zone, you can just be chilling out and see her sort of scene and everything. It was a really cool little town. And then I was just honoured to have been asked to do that. Like, it was really, really cool. Like, really super well-run event. The Red Bull team are just so on it and just really nice people. You know, you, like, get a group of people and there's always, like, one or two people you're like, oh, they're a nightmare. They just didn't have any of them. It was just like all the good people that you would want in a team that work well together and everything. I was like, this is just really great.
Fantastic. That's cool. Yeah. And was it in over in Dovey?
No, it was, I can't say the name. It begins with an M.
Machunliffe
or something. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So they just kind of cut a track into the side of the hill and then all the girls came. And unfortunately, the weather was pretty bad, but it was really cool because everybody just kind of clubbed together and got on with it and kind of just got really in amongst it and embraced the conditions. And it was really hard riding. Like, it was hard.
I watched the camera footage of you coming down and it looked, I mean, it was wet, wasn't it? Super sloppy and slippery.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And, you know, I think when you're in a big group like that and everybody's kind of having a bit of a, whoo, gosh, everybody just kind of pushes each other on. Oh, yeah, you did it. Nice one. And doing that, actually doing the race and everything, everybody coming across the line was just absolutely buzzing. Just like, wow, this is so sick. Such a cool thing to have done. And
nice.
Yeah, like, I just left that weekend just absolutely buzzing because I was just like, wow, this is like, you know, you forget about everything else.
Yeah.
It's just about the joy of riding a bike.
And yeah, no racing.
No racing,
yeah,
just fun.
Just having fun.
And it was just so nice. I was just like, this is mint, you know. And a lot of girls hadn't ever raced before and this was their first race, or they'd been off the bike and they were back on it and this was them getting back into it. And, you know, it's just amazing to see everybody just giving it a go and getting about it.
Sweet. Really so cool. The format, for people who don't know then, so there's, do you know how many girls are taking part? A couple of hundred.
Yeah, easy.
So they set off and they get a bit of a head start.
Yeah.
Mass start. Of event. And then you're stood watching them from a bit higher up on the hill, right?
Yeah, totally. Now, because it was so short, they were like, don't wait till the very, very end.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll just be like, you'll not even get through anybody or anything like that. So we just kind of, they went off and I waited a while. And then I kind of joined in and then rallied my way down. And it was quite open at the start, so you've got room for people to sort of move around and stuff. And then it goes tight in the trees and there was a couple of different lines. And then it's just race as fast as you can to the bottom and try not to get caught by the fox.
Excellent. So. And how was it cutting through the pack? Because I've watched some of G's runs at the male version and he's not messing about. He's pretty tough on his passing, right?
Yeah, he's got to be really on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little bit less aggressive for girls, just generally. Like, and I'm not. I want women to stay in the sport and stay in.
You're not trying to knock them off.
No, exactly. I'm not trying to cut them up and tee them up. I'm like, if I can get past them, I go past them. But I'm not going to knock them off or like, you know, because especially that event was really hard. Like the conditions were really difficult. Like, you don't want to scare anybody or cut them up or make them fall off and injure themselves. The guys are up for that kind of thing. And there's a lot more capable riders on that particular course because it's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
And you can get past a lot of them at the start. So, yeah. And I'm not getting up to those girls that can really ride to really get a race.
Right.
But it was mint, yeah.
It's, yeah, cool.
It works out pretty well.
Do you think you'll get the chance to get involved in that again, or?
Well, they actually literally just asked me if I would do it this year,
sweet,
which I was stoked on again, obviously.
Yeah.
I was just like, "Whoa, yeah, mint." Just like, it's just great to feel like, oh, that actually went well last year, you know, they were happy with that. So I was really, you know, just grateful to get another opportunity. But it's the same weekend as finale.
Of course.
So I won't be able to do it.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Which is a real shame because
I
was like, because I think a lot of the girls that did it last year are going to do it again, and I've seen a couple of them, and they're like, "Oh, you're doing the Bread of a Fox Hunt again." I was like, at that point, I was like, "Oh, I haven't been asked or anything like that." Blah blah. And then, obviously, same weekend. So
It's a shame, but yeah, it's nice to see the strength for the women's side of the sport, like the amount of people that are turning up to those kind of events.
Yeah,
and getting
that sells it so fast. Yeah. You know, and it's great as well. Like Rachel's incredible bike rider and just a competitor and everything, so for a lot of girls that's like just a dream to be able to go and actually get some time with her, you know, because a lot of that weekend we are just hanging out and just chatting with people and answering questions and, you know, just getting in amongst that kind of vibe and just giving them the opportunity to speak to people, you know. I mean, the thing with, certainly for me and probably for Rachel as well, we all had to start learning somewhere. So, like, although they think that we're really good bike riders, it's like, well, we had to start somewhere. We had all the problems that you're having.
We totally
went through that. It's just that we've got to the point where we've done it for so long now that we're getting pretty good at it.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, it's nice to get involved and to be given something back, I guess, to use the slightly cheesy term. But, yeah, it's cool. Nice one. And then you headed off, you spent quite a lot of your off season in New Zealand this past off season.
Yeah.
How was that? I've been there once and found it a challenging place to leave. It's incredible.
Yeah. Oh man, I fell in love with that place, eh? Like, it's just, I was in Christchurch and it's pretty mint. Like, it's like an actual town, like a city. So you've got everything you need, but it's not too busy. You've got all the things you need, like a really good osteo, who's now my friend Kate. That good setup there. They've got really good gyms, you know, they've got the bike park there, which is actually really good, considering it burnt down, you know, within not long of opening. So they've been rebuilding a lot of trails, and so getting on that chairlift a lot was good, and there's really good roads around there as well, so it's great for road riding.
Yeah.
And then it's only an hour and a half drive, and you're in big mountains, and I love big mountains, regardless of whether I'm on a bike or 2 feet, like, I just love being out there, so that was great for just escaping every now and again and just doing something different. And yeah, I'm just like totally like, that's where I want to be, really. So it's it was a really awesome way to spend the winter, especially because certainly last year in the UK the winter was horrendous.
Yeah, we had a rough
so one. Much snow.
Yeah,
I kept getting pictures from my mum just being like, oh, it snowed, oh, it snowed again, we're snowed in, we can't go to work. And I was just like, oh my days, I would have been going absolutely mental.
Yeah,
so,
for training it would have been incredibly
so
tough.
Frustrating.
Yeah, you'd have been in the gym and not out on the road or on the hill.
And I'm not a turbo rider. I'm not into turbo at all, by any means. So it would have been really hard.
Yeah,
fair. I would have just been crying, just like, no, I want to be in a turbo.
So do you think it helped your preparation then, having that space and the weather? Like, do you feel you came into the 18 season better as a result of being in New Zealand? Or was it a distraction in some ways as well?
It was really good because what I wanted from that was more time on my bike. You know, here you can get fit, but it's so cold and so rank that it's hard for your bike to work properly and for your body to work properly coming down the hills.
Right.
And so I was like, right, if I go to New Zealand, I've got summertime weather. I can really get more time riding my bike and get better at riding my bike, basically. Yeah. But it was difficult because I was on a bike that was not the bike that I'm riding now.
Okay.
And I didn't get that till kind of closer to the season. So it was good, but it would have been better if I'd been riding the more current equipment to get more quality time on that. So, but that's just what kind of comes with a major change like that within a team.
So. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So the bike frame was the same, is that right?
Yep, so the bike frame's completely the same.
Yeah, but you went from Fox to RockShox.
Yep. And SRAM.
And Shimano to SRAM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So that was basically changing the whole bike. So it was a bit like, whoa, you know, to great product, you know, I can't complain about that at all. It was just a bit of a shock to the system because it was like, wow, we're changing this. And now I've got to go and do two EWS. So, but it's just part of it, you know, like it happens across all different teams when you do a huge change like that, you know, that was big for both the Enduro team and the XC team. So it's just, you know, it's big companies and stuff. It takes a long time for things to filter through. And now we've moved over and feeling a lot more settled now.
Yeah. How far in advance of the first races was the change? It was pretty close, wasn't it?
Pretty close. Yeah, yeah. Like I got my bike 2 weeks before I flew out and then got the red fork on once I was in Chile.
Oh wow, okay.
So, but that was good actually because that red fork's really good.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was really pleased with that new Lyric. It's just like I'm quite fussy with my bike setup, so it takes me a bit of time, you know, and I'm still really learning a lot about everything. You know, I came from cross country, I had that kind of stuff dialed in, and then it was like, right, a huge change to setting up a full suspension bike, and then it was like, right, now you're on Fox stuff, so try and figure that out. So then I was trying to figure all that out, and I was just comfortable with that then.
Yeah.
You know, and I was happy on that setup, and I was like, right, okay, I know what I'm doing with this. And then you change it, and you're like, okay, right, now I need to learn and understand new stuff. And I'm not that technically minded. I'm not completely oblivious. I'm trying to get my head around it all. And I really try and learn everything I can from the people that are around me. You know, Rory's amazing. He's been on SRAM and RockShox for years before that as well.
Yeah.
So he's got experience with that product too. So that's really helped me just understand it. And, you know, having his advice and input,
okay
maybe we can change this, maybe we can do that, you know, helping me find solutions. And then my, Tyler and Alex, new team mechanics this year as well, they've been really good in helping sort of just figure it all out, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's all rider preference. It's finding out what works for you, might not work for someone else. And, you know, it just takes time. This is anybody that changes any bike. It just takes a bit of time to get used to and figure out the right thing for you.
So how do you approach that then when obviously this new bike turns up and you've got a couple of weeks to get it at least close to where you want it to be? Where do you start? Flick through the manual and take the kind of recommended settings from that and go ride? Or
I was living in the same flat as Joe Nation, and he's also technically minded. It seems to be all these guys that I'm surrounded by are technically minded. So he was really helpful with helping me set up. So we did the shock and the fork first, really, was kind of the main thing. And we just kind of fiddled around and I was just saying, okay, it feels a bit like this, it feels a bit like that. And he helped me kind of just adjust it in the right way.
Yeah.
And then obviously I went out to Chile and then got more input from Rory and Tyler and Alex just to kind of just help me learn, because I needed to learn quickly. And I'm dyslexic, so reading a manual is not going to be the way that my brain is going to take it in.
Yeah.
So I need to talk about it, I need to feel it, I need to understand it from that point of view.
Yeah.
So having people that know stuff around me is very helpful. Cool.
And didn't some of the team came over to the UK at some point between the races to help out with a bit of setup stuff?
Yeah, so after Chile, we've just been fiddling a lot with a lot of different things. You know, we've had different tire options and stuff like that this year as well that we've been playing with. And then it was after France, Tyler came out on his way up to do Fort William World Cup. He came out and spent a bit of time with me and Rory, which was, again, really helpful.
Yeah.
Just to get especially time away from racing, because I don't like changing anything in a race week, really. I like to change as little as possible, because I'm there to learn the track. I'm not there to learn how to ride my bike or what the bike's doing.
Yeah.
I just want to learn the track. You've got one run and that's it. So I like to have my bike set as I like it, you know. I'm happy on it, I'm confident on it, so I can just nail the track. So it was good to get out of that zone and just be like, okay, I know these trails. Let's just spend some time playing with these different settings and let's hear your feedback. This is my feedback. Let's see what we can do.
And what sort of, were you basing it on time or feel, or how were you approaching it?
Mostly on feel for that one, because we were trying to also get feedback for Trek as well.
Yeah.
And then SRAM, just for their partnership too.
Mm-hmm.
So Tyler was kind of had an idea of what he wanted to achieve. So he knew the settings and sort of things he was going to do to kind of go, okay, what did that feel like? How did this be, you know, how did that work? Where did it feel good? Where did it not feel so good? So it was really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah,
really
much
helpful.
Better doing it on trails, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you know what it should feel like when you've got the bike set right.
Totally. So. And you're not figuring out where you're going.
Yeah.
You're just totally feeling. So that's really, really nice. And, you know, we've got a great uplift here now, which is mint, you know, the adrenaline uplift.
Yeah, I've not been on it yet. We're going on Saturday. Two days. Yeah.
Amazing. It's so good.
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
Super fast. And,
so fast. You just bosh out laps all day.
Awesome.
It's mint.
I'm worried for my physical fitness for a day of that. But
we mint and we're really good.
Cool.
So that was extra helpful because it was literally on my doorstep.
And
you can do testing like that. Perfect.
Sweet. Yeah. So do you think you kind of came away from that with a faster setup or with a bike you felt more comfortable with?
Just more comfortable with.
Yeah.
I was just kind of... I've just been kind of trying to find the fun with it again.
Yeah.
You know, when it's just not feeling quite familiar, you've got to work at it to find out, you know, what is it that we need to do to kind of make this feel like a partnership again.
Yeah.
So it's like, I've been thinking about it a lot of like how to explain it, because I was like, it's like a new relationship, basically. It's like, it's not going to be like the other one. But you can't, you know.
Yeah, fair point.
So you just have to kind of go, well, we've got a lot of great stuff here, and then instead and forget about the other.
Interesting. I've never heard anyone describe
it's time
it
to
like
move
that.
On. So
I'm on a relatively new bike. I've only had it 2 months, and it's definitely 2 weeks would not be enough for me to learn how to ride a bike. Like, it takes a while to get into it and understand how it responds to different things. When things go wrong, what's it going to do? And it's a lot of work in it.
Yeah, Yeah, totally. But, you know, we've got to be so adaptable anyway. So it was a good test of that, for
sure.
Yeah,
true.
And I was, like, going to those first two, and with that kind of, like, I was really worried about it, because I was like, this is a huge change, and I'm genuinely, you know, it's just a huge change.
Yeah.
It's just a huge change. And I was like, oh, man, like, I've prepped everything myself ready for this, and I just hope that me and my bike get along well. So,
yeah.
Like, to come away with two-thirds, I think that's mint. Kind of shows, like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Sweet, this bike is still really good,
yeah.
Really good. So we just need to crack on.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, solid start to the season then.
Yeah, really
kind
solid.
Of left off almost as the year 2017 finished.
Yeah,
ended
it's looking
up
good.
Third in the overall. Yeah, it was looking good. And then France happened. So talk us through that. I mean, you'd had the first two races were big, challenging. The weather in Colombia dealt a pretty rough hand, so neither of those were easy.
Yeah.
But then France seemed to really up the ante, and that was the beginning of the season really cranking it up, right?
Yeah, it was. Like, the first day was pretty good. It was just sort of big miles, but nice trails. It started raining at the end of stage three, and we kind of got a bit of an idea that it was going to be really slippy.
Mm.
But I was sitting third after that day, and I was like, sweet, that's solid. Like,
cool,
we'll hold it into tomorrow. But I was actually genuine fear about stage 7 and stage 8.
Yeah.
Because they were pretty burly. Stage 7 mainly was pretty burly in the dry.
Uh-huh.
And then it rained a bit. Now, the dirt there, I went down the first stage, so stage 5 from the second day, the first stage. And it was that was a pretty mellow stage in practice. And I was going down these corners and I was like, I'm not slowing down. Like, I'm not slowing down. I was like, this is the easy stage. This is the easy stage. So it was a bit scary. We were all quite, with genuine fear from a lot of people. Like, it was quite scary. So, got down that. That was fine. Stage 6, that was fine. Stage 7 went up. I think those two stages are fine. I can't really remember. And then I went to stage 7. And there was sort of a bit of a gnarly bit in it. And I was doing fine on the lead up to it, and I was like, right, sweet, just get down, like, don't try and go fast, just get down. And I just got it wrong and just smashed my head off a rock, and then got up, carried on, and was a bit like, because I hit it so hard, I was like, are you all right? And I managed to make my way down. Usually my first thing to go is my coordination, my timing,
right?
And that was still there. And then Cecile went past me, and I just was following her down the track. And which was awesome, because we never get to see the other girls ride. So it was meant to just follow her. And I was just like, man, you are wild. Like, you are just wild.
Yeah.
Like, not doing anything ridiculous, but just hitting the lines and hitting them good.
Yeah.
And just consistently doing that. So it was meant to follow her down there. Got to the bottom and I was like, oh, right, okay. Anyway, finished that race. Somehow finished that race. I walked the bottom. There was a bottom bit where it was just super. It was a soap. We call it soap rock. It's like limestone rock. As soon as it gets wet, anybody that's ridden it knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I've ridden some in the peaks where there's a bit of that, and it's as soon as there's any water on, it's like ice.
Oh,
yeah.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. You just have to let the brakes go and let it roll over the top. But because I'd hit my head so hard, I was just like, right, you cannot actually afford to crash again, because if you hit your head again, this is bad news. So there was a bit that was like a lot of rock going on, so I was just like, just run it. Like, you're lucky that you're not more concussed than you are. So just take it easy.
Yeah.
So yeah, then it just went off from there, really. Downhill from there.
So yeah, because the day before you'd lost some stuff and I had a puncture. Mm. Was that? Mm-hmm. It was the same race, wasn't it?
No, that's probably the sleep thing, because I changed 3 or 4 different time zones within the course of a month.
Right.
And I was toast. By France, I didn't realise. So I think that's what was happening.
Yeah, so you've done New Zealand, Chile, Colombia.
Yeah, so New Zealand to Chile was 8 hours. Then went to Colombia, which isn't that much different. Then it was 10-hour difference back to New Zealand. I was in New Zealand for 2 weeks. Then it was a 12-hour time change to the UK.
Yeah.
So three, four different time zones. Major ones.
Yeah,
three major ones. And then I got to France and I was just cooked.
Yeah.
I was cooked. So,
and you were feeling a bit run, I think, because it was still City the weekend before, which I bumped into you there, and you were saying you were kind of felt on the verge of getting a cold or something. Yeah. You weren't quite.
No, I was not on
firing on all cylinders.
No, I was getting a cold, so I was smashing Manuka honey and lemon and ginger twice a day, all day, like every day on the lead up to that race, like in the race week and everything like that, which kind of made it just stay away. But it was, I was run down. Yeah. So. Yeah.
it wasn't good. And then you had, so you got a puncture on the bottom of one of the stages.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what happened on the Saturday.
Cecile kind of helped you a little bit.
Yeah, she did. That was amazing. Yeah, because I punctured near the bottom of that stage. I was really lucky. And then, yeah, I just couldn't get the tire off. It was just too tight in there and it wouldn't seal with the plugs that I'd put in and stuff. And
right,
I was like, looking at the time, I was like, I've not actually got enough time. So I did a 12-minute max effort as fast as I could with Cecile pushing me in bits. Like
basically an extra stage.
Yeah. Probably harder, to be honest.
Yeah, because continuous.
Continuous, yeah, totally. And then I got back to the pits and I literally was thrown up. I was lying down. I couldn't see. Like, it was like...
I've seen a photo actually from that day, and you look like the look on your face was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like,
I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm not sure I can continue. Yeah.
That's when you're beyond, like, you know, I'm always grateful for an amazing team, but that was particularly because I just like handed the bike, and they just made it have a tire again, and it was blown up. You know.
So that was like, the day before the stage 7 crash, right?
Totally.
So you must have been ruined going into day 2 anyway. Like, you must have been pretty tired.
Yeah, because the stage 5 and 6 were quite pedally.
Yeah.
And there was a sort of a couple of minute pedal, and I went to put power down. None. Nothing.
Interesting.
Absolutely nothing. Yeah. I was like, wow, there's... You're pushing, but your legs are just like, nah, mate.
Nothing
you
left.
You don't do 12-minute effort. Like,
it's not happening.
Not that hard.
Yeah, you've not trained for that part of it.
No, exactly. You can't do that. They can't force us to do that 2 days in a row. So,
yeah,
that definitely made it harder. Because I was a bit back on both of those stages. So I was like, right, 7 and 8, bring back some time. No. Throw it more. Throw it way more.
So wait, you still ended up with a reasonable result, didn't you?
Yeah, it was 6th.
6th, which is pretty good going, considering what, you know, coming in feeling subpar and then having a weekend like that. So when you've had a big head impact like that, how do you look after yourself? Because
I was a bit worried. I was really worried about it, actually, because I was like, just from the way I was feeling and everything, I was like, right, okay, week of nothing, like, did nothing. I didn't do laptop stuff, I didn't do phone stuff. I just let myself sleep a lot,
because
I knew I was tired anyway. So I was sleeping, like, I'd literally sleep all night, and then I'd get up, I'd have breakfast, and then I'd go back to bed and actually sleep again for another couple hours. So I just let myself do that for a week. And then, in that week, I had to write some stuff on the computer, like, just for people that needed things that week. And I literally would write a bit and be like, right, I'm going to have to go and sleep again. So although I wasn't, like, majorly concussed, there wasn't any sort of major signs, I was just like, your brain just needs a break. So I just gave that a week, and then just added gentle training in after that, as I sort of started to feel better. But there was no huge signs, like, I wasn't throwing up, I was never sick or anything like that. It was just like, I was just tired.
Yeah.
I mean, your brain just needs time. I was like, there could be like a delayed reaction, so I just wanted to give myself plenty of rest to allow it to either come on or just let it fizzle out.
Yeah,
so
that's good that you took the time to give it that rest, though, because a lot of people just seem to shrug it off and crack on, but it's so scary
because I literally was at the bottom of that stage, and I just, it really hit me. I was like, I want to have a life, I've got the rest of my life, and this race doesn't matter at all, because I want to have a family, I want to do all this other stuff with my life. I don't, you know, this is one race, one moment in my life. Like, it's really not that big a deal if I want to, you know, do all this other stuff. Like, and I want to be able to be there for that. I don't want to be fighting, you know, just fighting. I just want to be able to live.
Yeah, literally.
And it is that serious. Yeah. Like, it sounds dramatic, but it's that serious. It's that serious. Yeah. So,
but it's a kind of a good attitude to have to racing anyway, because it is, I know it's your job and it's a big part of it, but at the end of the day, it's only a race, and people get very wound up about these things sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, totally. It is, when you're in that moment, it's really hard to take yourself out and see perspective.
Uh-huh.
Like, I remember going to a British Champs XC race and being there, and I wasn't racing, I was just there watching. And I was like, wow, this is, like I'm here, and it doesn't, like, this is just, it's well chilled. But if I'd been here before when I was actually racing, it would have been a huge deal. Like, you're so in the moment of everything, you've got, you know, you've done loads of preparation, and this is what it's come down to, you know, it's, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But then you just go and watch, it's just like, it's just a race, you know?
Puts it into perspective a little bit.
Totally. It's important to have that, but it's hard to find sometimes.
Yeah. Cool. So then on to Pettson and Jamnica, if that's how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. And that, it looks like they decided that France wasn't hard enough. So then the ante got upped.
Yeah. The issue with France is if they just put, like, the second day as the first day, so we didn't cut, you know, the hardest stages of the weekend were 7 and 8.
Right,
if they'd
been
2 and 3 when we were a wee bit fresher, totally fine.
Okay.
But we were tired. Like, you know, when you're putting technical stuff right at the end, that's when you're asking for it. And then Pettson was just really fresh cut tracks, and that, which is really cool, you know.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of tracks in the area that were already established that were mint that we could have used, kind of thing. So they just weren't quite, they were fine. It was just hard. It just was really, really hard because they were just deteriorating so quickly. Because it wasn't, you know, on stage 3, there was a lot of corners, like 10 million corners, ridiculous, like amazing. But because they were all one into another, there wasn't much line choice.
Right.
So everybody was kind of bashing down the same line. So roots were just popping out, massive holes, like, yeah. And that's just what made it hard because it was just so physical and stuff like that. So, yeah. It was good, but it was just a bit nuts just because it was so fresh cut and just getting destroyed.
And super long, yeah?
Yeah, long. Yeah. The first day was quite nice. We had a long transition, but it was nice. Like, you get to see all the countryside and stuff. Like, that's one of the things I love about enduro is really getting to see the area. People moan about transitions and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, but look around. Look at the way you are. This is mint. Look at all this place that you get to travel along this little, you know, these wee back roads that you would never ever have gone along if you were just in that area and see the hills from different angles and stuff. It's like we're in Slovenia and we're looking over and you can see Austria. That's mint.
That is pretty cool. And so, you went through the tunnel. One of the transitions was through the tunnel.
Yeah, it said I didn't go through it.
Did you not? You're not up for that.
I'm not really keen on tunnels, eh?
Fair play. Because it was quite a long ride around.
Yeah, it was a long ride around it and I was panicking, so I thought it was going to be late, but it was totally fine. But the tunnel was, nah.
The thought of it would freaks me out.
Yeah.
I'd like to think I'd do it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's totally fine. I did it in practice, but that was fine. Like, I got into it and then just went, nah, and just pinned it as fast as I could all the way through. So I was like, right, I'll just go around. I don't need that kind of stress.
Fair play. Mm-hmm. And how did the race go then for you?
Oh, not great. I did the first stage. I was 3 seconds off Cecile, so that was mint. A really good start.
Mint,
But then the second stage, I went down really hard, like really hard, onto my shoulder. And a few weeks before, I'd actually smashed the same shoulder off a tree and thought I'd like dislocated it or whatever. I don't know what I'd done. But I'd actually just pinched the ulnar nerve and then was like losing feeling in my fingers and stuff. So that was really scary. But then it was totally fine. Anyway, then I crashed in Pettson really hard, smashed it again off the ground and roots. And then I just crashed like a lot just after that and then proceeded to then crash further down that track. I was just not really having a good time.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, you know, when you have a crash and you're like, I didn't get like that. I was just like just trying to ride, which made it more frustrating that I kept crashing. I was like, come on. So that kind of set me off the whole weekend. So I tried to keep bringing it back. And then the second day, I was like, right, just ride nice. And just never really got that great.
Yeah, didn't get into the flow.
No, the fifth stage was good, and the last stage was all right. But yeah, we just, you know, just not.
Yeah,
not quite.
Didn't quite click.
No.
And the women's field, it feels, from looking from the outside anyway, it feels even more competitive this year. Like, it feels like a lot of people have upped their game, and there's kind of more people that can feature in that top five, top six.
I mean, it isn't, you know, like, the Gehrig twins got knocked out with injury.
Yeah.
Adrienne I can't say her name. ALN.
Yeah.
She's my good mate. She's been out with a wrist injury.
Uh-huh.
And then Ennis Thomas is now out. Out with neck injury. So it's been mixing up, but there's a lot of people been getting injured as well. So it's kind of not, I don't feel like it's been as tight as it could have been.
Okay.
Like, I don't, for the season that I've had, I shouldn't still be in third.
Right.
I shouldn't be in third. So,
Okay.
I've just been lucky.
Yeah, I guess there's been more of a mixture in the results this year, and it's not been quite as consistent.
No, so it hasn't. Everybody's been mixing up. Certain
people come up and then either got injured or...
Totally.
What have you.
So it's a good time, definitely. I think it's definitely mixing up. But it's just like, just when people are injured, it's just like, oh, guys, come back.
Yeah, well, it's still a relatively small field, isn't it? The elite women.
So consistently, that are consistently there. You know, you go to different places and there'd be fast women coming along. Yeah.
Cool. And then on to L'Etoile, which looked, again, like a pretty huge, epic weekend. And again, in a place where they have a lot of awesome established trails, there was a fair amount of fresh cut and the weather that maybe doesn't go with that.
Yeah, it was... When we came into that, I'd walked some of the tracks and stuff and I was like, man, these are really fresh cut. Like, and just having seen what had happened in Petzen and Jamaica, I was just like, these are just going to get destroyed. Like, what are they actually going to be right? Like, you know, fresh sections of track, that's mint. You know that they're going to deteriorate, but you can kind of get away with that. But when it's like that all the way down, it's just nuts. And the tracks that they made, they were kind of like, you know, we've not had the time we needed over the winter to get what we needed in place. And I was like, well, change your plan, change the plan, because the tracks were, they were cool tracks. In the dry, they were fine.
Yeah.
As soon as it got wet, it was just a war zone, like an absolute war zone. And it was just really hard. And it's just frustrating because, you know, there's so many good riders. And when they look like crap coming down trails, it doesn't really sell the sport, you know. And it's, you know, as us girls, you know, we're not as strong or whatever, so we can say whatever we want. But when the guys are coming down and it's hard for them, it's like kind of like, these guys are the most skilled bike riders in the whole world and they're struggling.
Yeah.
So we just need to rein it back in. So the first day, honestly, first stage, right, I came down. I didn't have a really very good time. I crashed right at the top just with something, a big hole, and I got bounced off my line. Anyway. Tired on down, and then was just being scared and stupid. But that's just experience. I just need to get better at that. Anyway, got to the bottom, and I was like, I've had enough. But I just want to throw the towel in. If there's anything that I could do right now to stop this race, then I'll do it.
And you're like one of the most positive people I've ever met. So that's a big deal.
I mean, there was a build-up of things. It wasn't just that race. It's kind of the whole year.
Uh-huh.
And that's just personal to me. Not everybody was feeling that.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it just pushed me to the limit. And I know different points throughout the season, kind of with those couple of races, we'd all just been having a bit of a hard time. We were like, you know, Noga Karam was like, last year we had 5 rainy races in a row and they were really hard, but we still seem to be having more fun than we're having now. So we were like, oh, okay. So anyway, after that day, so I'm on the advisory board for the EWS, and I get a phone from Chris Ball, and he's like, you know, we're thinking of changing the course, blah blah blah. You know, one of the main things that we take into account in these events is the rider enjoyment, which was reassuring, certainly for me to hear as well, because it's such an important part of it.
Yeah.
And you know, we could race down a grass field and you get some good racing. You know, it doesn't need to be hard.
Yeah.
Or super hard. It could just be hard anyway. And he was like, so we're thinking of making a change to the courses, you know, we're thinking of taking stage 5 out, we're going to do this, and I was like, do you know what, I think that's a good decision, because honestly that atmosphere out there is not good, it's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, you're just pushing people to not, just beyond their comfort zone too far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want trails to be hard and then you make them harder by going faster. They don't need to be just out and out, you know, sections of real hard stuff is fine, but these were like 5, 10, 15 minutes of just pure gnar, which is really cool to ride. Mm-hmm. You know, you ride that with your mates and you try and get down and you've got all these different bits and you push back up and you try and do something.
Yeah, and you spend an hour going
down. And you enjoy it because of the challenge. But when you try and actually race down that, it's you're pushing yourself, certainly for me in my riding ability, I was pushing myself into a zone of total survival of like... I was totally beyond way into the uncomfortable.
Right.
Like, I was not happy about being there, like, at all.
Yeah.
And I'd already put myself there a couple of times throughout the season. And, it was just like, this is just too much.
Yeah, it starts to ramp up.
Yeah. You know, when you do that once or twice or whatever, that's all right. But when you're doing it like a lot, it's a lot for people. So those, I felt like those changes they made on the Sunday. So we basically went, instead of doing stage 4, stage 5, stage 6, we did stage 6, which was on an established trail that they have there already. We did stage 6, then we did stage 4, which was actually rode really well. And we missed out stage 5 and just did the end bit of it, which was just like a sprint through the field. And then we went back up and did stage 6. Now, stage 6 had a huge climb in it. And so for the second time that we went down it, we took that climb out. So you just could ride down.
Yeah.
So when they made those changes, whole atmosphere changed.
Wow.
Everything changed. You know, everybody was happy, sort of giggling, you know, just...
Cool.
You
back know, to how it was.
Back to how it was, totally. And, you know, you don't... We all it felt like an actual race. You know, it wasn't just like luck of who got the line right, you know, and just made it. And because, you know, if you don't make it, it's a huge crash. So when you could ride these, you could ride it fast and it was like proper racing again. Mm-hmm. You know, we could all push hard within our ability, you know. And, you know, you made it harder by going faster and that was up to you. It was within your control.
Yeah.
So, it was just racing again. So that was a really positive change for them. And, you know, it's happened before. Having raced this for like 5 years, you know, we've pushed the limit with how long a days we could do, how much climbing we could do, you know. And it's just about being pushed to that limit and going, okay, that's enough. We'll rein it back in. And because the EWS is, I feel like it's rider-led, I think it's the feedback's in almost, you know, it can take a couple of rounds because sometimes rounds are just harder than the other ones and that's fine. But when it's consistently kind of happening, they kind of go, okay, we hear you. We'll change this. So it's positive. I think it's really positive for people that do these races to kind of feel like they're supporting you as riders.
That's cool. Yeah. And it is, like you say, there's a line and it is tricky because it needs to be challenging.
Totally.
But it needs to have the whole reason that everyone's there, that it is a fun event. It is actually something you can race rather than just survive. And I guess I'd sort of toyed with the idea about trying to get an entry for one.
Mm-hmm.
And then after watching this season, I was like, I'm so glad I didn't.
Oh, no.
So I definitely wouldn't have survived, which maybe is right because there's lower series now to kind of that EWS have put in place to bring people through. And I probably shouldn't be racing at an EWS level, but even a year ago, like, I definitely would have given it a go, I think. Mm-hmm. But...
Yeah, and the thing is, like, that's why you don't want to push it to that point because you don't want to put people off it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not about that. You know, I feel like we've got downhill for that. You know, that's the real gnar stuff. And enduro should be a challenge, but it's a challenge for all different reasons. You know, getting through the day, you know, the trails should be difficult, but not fully, like, absolute nut job thing because you're doing it tired. This is the thing, you know. That's what's got to be taken into consideration as well. You're just getting more and more fatigued over the weekend and you've done a lot of practice and stuff. So it's just all balance. You know, and back in the day.
Back in the good days.
Back in the day. We used to do like 20-minute descents that would have at least like a minute fire road in them or something at some point, you know, or a 30-second fire road bit. And like they've kind of taken out these pedaling sections, but actually they worked really well because they split up the descending.
Yeah. Okay.
So you like you did a descend, then you pedal for a bit, and then you descend. And when you're doing 20 minutes, that's actually quite nice because it just helps even it out a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just gone, it's just finding its way, and you know, it's just all still defining itself as to what it is. And
Yeah.
Like the bikes is an interesting one as well because they're all getting so much bigger. You know, there was a point in time where we were looking at going to sort of smaller travel bikes.
Yeah.
You know, I remember considering, I think it was back in 2016, I was like, or 2016, I was like, oh, my first year on Trek, I was talking to Tracy about it, and I was like, what about the Fuel EX? Because that could be quite good, you know. I can't remember where we were, but I was like, that could be quite good there kind of thing, you know. Now, there's not a chance in hell that I'd be considering riding like a 130mm bike, so.
Yeah, fair play. Tracks have clearly got burlier and harder then.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You know, I think I feel like all the brands are pushing bigger bikes, bigger monster trucks. I remember when the Slash came out, 150, 29er, 160 on the front, it was like, whoa, monster truck. And now it's like, oh, maybe we need more travel. Like, you know, what's the way it's going?
Yeah, full on. And I was going to talk a bit about 29ers actually. So you're on a 29-inch wheel bike, have been all season and last season as well?
Yep, and last season, yeah.
You're not the tallest person?
Nope. But I'm not the shortest person either.
How tall are you?
I'm 160 centimetres, 5'2.5".
Okay.
And I'm taller than Isabel and Noga, which I didn't think, but I am.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have you got like a height chart of all of the women?
We were just chatting about it at the top of stage four in Latwil, actually. I was like, yeah, da da da. And then Isabel was like, what height was Isabel? Isabel was something ridiculous. Like, she was like 150, like, she was really short, like 155 or something, like, really, really short.
Yeah.
I think Noga's 157. I was like, man.
All right.
I've got centimetres on you guys.
Happy days.
Yeah. That was crazy. So, but yeah, as a small person, I, you know, the Remedy 29 that Trek had, I didn't quite fit in it.
Right.
So that's why I moved to the 27.5. But the slash that they've got, the geometry just works for a smaller person.
Okay.
But I always say this for 29ers, you know, it works for me and what I want from a bike. And, you know, I want to feel confident. I want to hit big lines. And also for a fatigue point of view, it works for racing. It goes in a straight line really fast. You know, for me, it works. But it's not necessarily what everybody wants, you know. But I feel like that bike, for a small person, if you want a 29er, then it works. Because it's just, I'm in the bike. You know, it's so easy for certainly short people and bigger bikes to feel perched on top.
Yeah.
And then it's really hard to, like, maneuver it around. But the slash, I'm, like, actually in it. And I can flick it around. You know, it's still got that shorter chainstay and stuff. So I can flick it around corners. I never feel like it's too much. Like, I can't get it around. It's still quite nimble. So. Yeah.
Are there ever bits or sections where you think I probably could have ridden that particular bit faster on 275? Or do you think you're pretty much quicker everywhere on that bike?
Yeah, just because I'm so at one with it.
Okay.
We're so, like, I'm
so committed. The relationship's going well.
Yeah, the relationship is on. We are getting on really well, and things are just flowing. So I just hit the lines that I want to, you know, and when I'm on the 27.5, I'm a bit, you know, there's just more feedback, which some people like. But I like to be, okay, I'm here, and then I'm going to go up there, and then I'm going to shoot down to the right and get around that corner kind of thing. And if there's less feedback, then I can just focus on doing that. So because of that confidence difference, I didn't even consider the 27.5, because I was just like, regardless of whether I was actually riding along faster, If you don't feel happy on a bike or confident on a bike, you're not going to ride as fast, and that's just what it comes down to.
It's all about the relationship.
Totally.
Cool. And then how was Whistler? So we went out for that. That everyone seemed to be buzzing. Like EWS was, everyone had a smile on their face again.
Yeah, totally. We were back. It was really good. I mean, Whistler is just amazing. We're speaking to all the girls and stuff. We're always just like, come to Whistler like every year, which is incredible. But we never get bored of it, Like, it's never like, oh, we're going to Whistler. It's always like, oh, yes, it's time to go to Whistler again.
Well, it's Crankworx, there's lots going on, like, everyone's there. So.
Yeah, it's really nice. Even, like, when you're there and nobody's there, it's just great vibes, great trails, everything. So, but, yeah, the EWS nailed that one. They really nailed that one. It was just the right amount of physicality. You know, we had pedalled up the Blackcomb side twice, and then the trails were demanding enough, but not totally mental.
Cool.
And then we had the big last one to finish, which is just really fun. You know, 20 minutes riding your bike down a hill as fast as you can.
Nice.
You know, the way from the top of there.
And did you find that with that smile being back on your face, like, you felt like you performed better? Was it easier to perform better when you were happier?
Well, I had a huge crash on the Friday night before before the race. Like, huge. Probably the biggest crash of my life.
I think I've seen a video of that. It looked pretty horrible.
Yeah, it was. It was really horrendous. So I just came in. There were some rollers at the bottom, which were then taken out for the race. And I was frustrated because I don't like seeing the boys doing something and not being able to do it myself. Right. So I was like, if I have to roll through these, it's going to cost me so much time. I'm not keen for that. So let's just try it. I came in, not enough speed or skill. This is how you learn, isn't it? And I went off it and I was like, oh, no. Because I didn't want to jump the whole thing, because after it was going to be carrying a lot of speed into a shorter jump.
Right.
So I wanted to just land on top to then have a little bit more time before the next one. But then it just came up completely short, and just the forks just compressed while I was over the top of them, and then just rocket launched me. Off, flipped the bike huge in the air. I flipped around, landed on my back and everything. So by the time it got to the race on Sunday, I was done. my body was done because it had such a ragdoll huge crash. Yeah. You know, I mean, I felt like it was quite big, but Rory was standing at the bottom and he was like, because I'd be like, oh yeah, had a big crash. And he was like, that was a huge crash. That was a huge crash. Your legs were in the air. Like, oh my goodness. So yeah, my body was completely cooked.
Yeah.
Like totally up. Cooked. Like I was, it was just the weird, it was the weirdest thing because I was like, fine. I couldn't believe I was fine, but I was just beaten up.
Yeah.
Anything. And so the first stage was all right, but then I was just, you know, almost like my unconscious brain was like, get off your bike because you need to chill out. You need to rest. Like, you've had such a big rattle. So I was just falling over.
Yeah.
Like, just falling over, riding along, fall over. So it was a really hard day because I really like those trails and I really enjoy them. So I think if I hadn't had that crash,
yeah,
it would have been better, but it was still much still more enjoyable.
And still had a reasonable result, right?
Fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all right.
All right, okay. So by the look on your face, you're not that happy with...
Yeah. No, I just want to be back on the podium. You know, I want to be really testing Cecile.
Yeah.
You know, I think we all do. She's having a great time way out there at the front. I think we've all had enough of that, you know. So, I've got the utmost respect for Cecile. We get on really well. She's my French teacher. She just teaches me all the bad French. But I want to be able to give her a race, you know.
Yeah.
We want to have tight racing and close racing. So that's been a bit frustrating to kind of be...
What do you think it will take? Because, you know, you've been, like you said, been close to her on a few stages throughout the year.
Yeah, well, staying on a bike would help me figure out what we'd need to... what I'd need to do.
Yeah.
If I keep crashing like that, it just throws it all out the window. You know, your body's all out of whack. So if I could just stay on, then I could probably get some more answers as to what I need to do personally to get there. So there's definitely a lot of things that I need to work on. And
So a little bit of a break now. Has it been nice to have like a few weeks back at home to kind of, let the rest of the first part of the season kind of disappear into the memory banks and get fired up for the last two rounds?
Yeah, totally. You've nailed it there. Like, I just want to forget the season. What is done, and there's, you know, let's just start afresh now.
Can't change it.
No, absolutely not. And I don't want to carry any of that negativity or anything. I just want to go, right, let's just do everything you possibly can in this 3 weeks to be in the best possible shape for these last two rounds and just enjoy that form. Mm-hmm. Because when you've got good form, racing's just brilliant because you can just hammer the pedals, you can ride really well. And I just want to get back to that. I feel like I've just been fighting the whole time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I just need my body in to be okay because it's taking so many hits off the ground. I'm definitely feeling it now. Although there's like nothing broken or anything like that. Like my right shoulder that I've smashed off the tree and off the ground a lot of times. And it just, it's needed a bit of a break. So I just rode my mountain bike for the first time yesterday after a couple of weeks off from Whistler.
Yeah.
And just to give my body a break from getting rattled and stuff. And, yeah, so hopefully the last two rounds are going to be great fun.
Awesome.
It's going to be really good. So.
Yeah, so back to back, aren't they, as well?
Yeah, back to back.
Yeah.
Which moves finale to a one-day race.
Okay.
Which is interesting. We've never done two-day races there, so I don't know how I feel about that, because I like 2 days in finale.
Yeah.
I do like finale.
Finale is a lovely place to be.
Yeah, such a great place to be. And it's just great riding. There's so every year we go back and there's new stuff to ride and, it's just great times. Yeah. Always just great times.
When you finish on a beach and there's great ice cream.
What more do you need?
Exactly.
Nothing.
Tick.
So, yeah, big time.
Yeah.
But Spain's always a good one as well. Have you been there?
No, I haven't. Never ridden in Spain.
Oh. Ainsa's a mint place. They do this like medieval... There's like in a castle is where it starts. And then there's this big medieval fair sort of thing going on. And we got like dressed up and we did this like prologue. And they had a kilometre-long sausage cooking on a barbecue.
As you do.
Yeah, and all sorts of different stuff, and the community all gets in behind it. You know, the reason that they didn't have it for a couple of years was because so many people went to ride there afterwards. They needed to actually put sort of programmes in place for the amount of riders that were now going through land that was never really a problem because it would be like a handful. But now there were so many coming through that farmers were like, hold on a second, you know. So they've had to deal with all of that, which is amazing because it is such a sick riding spot. So it'll be great to go back and see how it's developed and changed.
It's a few years since the last time there, right?
Yeah, must have been
2015.
I was on a different team. I was doing it myself.
Yeah, full privateer mode.
Privateer mode, scooting around. Yeah, It was a long time ago.
Cool. So did you do anything different? Like, it feels like there's nothing was broken, so you don't really need to fix it. But do you approach these rounds any differently to the first half of the season or first two-thirds of the season?
Just want to get back to what I was doing last year, really, and what I was doing at the first two. So just find myself into that zone, really, and just, you know, some time on the bike now afresh, you know. We've had our little break and then we're getting back together again.
Yeah. We've had some time apart.
We're getting back together again and just, you know, forgetting the struggles of like trying to sort myself out to be in a position where I like it. So now that get to the point where it's like, okay, forget that. The bike's mint, you know, you're mint. Let's just ride and just enjoy it for what it is. Yeah. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then off season, I guess, not really that far away.
No.
Any plans? What are you thinking about?
Well, my osteo that used to live here has moved to Norway, so I'm going to go and visit her.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going to have some time just completely off. You know, last year, I finished the year savage. I was just totally blown because I just couldn't believe what I'd done. And then had to negotiate a contract straight away and then went to New Zealand and started training. So it was like there was no real break. So this year I've been like, sweet. I'm really ready to have a proper break and just turn off everything.
And have an actual holiday.
Yeah, have an actual holiday, have an actual escape. Because it's hard to switch off because you're always on with this kind of thing, you know. It's the best job in the world, but you are always on. There's always things to be done, you know. There's always, you know, you're always thinking about what you're eating. You're always thinking about how much sleep you're getting. You're always thinking about, you know, how to make your performance better. Always on. So it's good and important to turn off completely.
Yeah. I feel. Yeah, it never stops, does it, I guess? It's not like a normal day job that you leave the office and, in theory, you can forget about it.
Yeah.
Like, you're always trying to optimise everything, I suppose.
Everything you do, which is addictive. Like, I absolutely love it. Like, I love trying to get the absolute best out of myself. But in order to be in that position and do that properly and get the quality out of yourself, you also have to take a complete step back and do something completely different.
Yeah.
So... yeah, it's important, and I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. And we were talking earlier, you've been reading the book about, what's it called? Why We Sleep.
Yeah.
By Matthew Walker. Neither of the mountain biking Matthew Walkers.
No.
a qualified doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you finding that? Because I read it pretty recently and found it pretty fascinating.
Absolutely mind-blowing. Like, absolutely mind-blowing. And I'd recommend anybody to read it. I've actually got it on audiobooks. So I just pull around and listen to it. And I'm just sort of stop, and I'm just listening with my mouth wide open, just like, what? Like, this is crazy. This is totally crazy. You know, just how important it is and how much of an effect it can have on you is just have to read it.
Yeah.
Just have to read it. Yeah.
So if you do you already do anything to like optimize your own sort of sleep or sleep environment?
Well. Basically, it's just told me that naps in the afternoon are all right. So I'm heavy on the program. I love a nap.
Excellent.
And it's basically saying that, yep, in your rhythm, humans would have had a nap in the afternoon. So I'm like, sick. Well, let's maximize on that. So I just love the fact about the birds that sleep, and they sleep with one half of their brain and then leave the other half open. So they've got one eye open, and then they've got all the birds sort of to the right of them. They've turned the right side of the brain off, but they've got the left side on. And that eye's open looking for threats. And then at the other end of the line, the other bird's got the right side of the brain on, left side off where all the other birds are. And then it's checking out for that. Like, that is mental.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
It's absolutely mental.
Makes us realise how lucky we are that we can switch our whole brain off and not worry about it.
Yeah, just lie down.
Have a proper sleep.
Yeah, you know, you're not in water trying to have half sleeps.
Yeah.
Because if you turn your whole brain off, you're gonna float to sink to the bottom of the ocean and drown, you know?
Do you ever struggle to sleep, like, with training intensity and stuff like that? Or?
Not usually.
Okay.
I'm usually a pretty good sleeper. That's probably one of my qualities
as a human. It's one of my key skills. I'm very good at sleeping,
It's key. It's totally key.
Yeah.
I try and nap whenever I can, you know, on planes and stuff like that. It's crucial for recovery and stuff, but that book just shows you so many more reasons of why it's important. And it's just a matter of, with anything really, is changing the priority.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a good read. We'll stick a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, the sun is starting to set, so we should let you crack on with the rest of your day. But couple of our regular questions. We've asked you the £100 question before, and you recommended a sensible jacket.
Yeah, sensible jacket.
Which I think I might need over the next few days riding, but there you go. I'm going to up that to £200 with inflation. What's your latest kind of bike-related product that you couldn't live without?
Oh, no, that's
or
a good one.
Or just product in general that helps your life as a rider and an athlete?
Probably my bike bag.
Okay, what have you got?
I've got the Evop bike bag,
yeah,
which just changes my life when I have to pack.
Is that the one that's got the little wheel bit that you can put, so you can have it like on three wheels instead of having to pick it up and drag it?
I haven't actually got the one with three wheels on it.
Okay.
But I have got the just the normal pull along one.
Yeah.
But it just makes packing bikes so easy. You know, I used to do it in the box all the time.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But it takes a bit of time and you've got to move things around and you don't want to. I hate things scratching my bike. Like, I really hate it. So, you know, it takes a bit of faff to get that organised. But Evoque bag, you know, in 15 minutes, you're done. You've packed the bike. It's
which
not,
is
the no
result because you're doing that a lot more times than most of us throughout a year, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm pretty lucky. My mechanics pack my bike.
Oh, really?
After nice. A race pretty often, which is ridiculous. You know, I'm a lucky little rider. but yeah, like going to events and stuff like that, it just makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And everything's got its place. You know, I like things to have its place. So that's good.
Cool. Very good. And then the question that we've added since we had you on last time, if you could have a coaching session from anyone, past or present, who would it be and what would you want to learn from them? You can have two if you want.
Two. Well, I'd like to learn some things from Sam Hill because he's obviously doing something right.
It seems, whatever they throw at him,
he
seems to be able to handle it.
Yeah, and I'd like one from Brandon Semenuk.
Okay.
Because I would just want to be able to ride jumps like he does. Oh my God. Unbelievable things. Like, just floats over those things and does some twirly things and gets down and flicks up some dirt. And
incredible style.
Yeah. So that'd be quite good.
Yeah.
I need to work on my jumping, so.
Well, surely you could get Sam to take you out for a few hours on one of these EWS weekends where you've not got
I'll
a lot going
on. My flat pedals, eh?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's the future.
Right, Sam. You have to ride these. You know how to go fast. So, yeah.
Awesome. He's doing some coaching, I think, out in Australia.
Is he?
I think you can actually like pay to go and get a bit of coaching from him out there, but long way to travel.
A long way to travel.
Yeah.
But it's not far from New Zealand. So.
True. There you go. Happy days. Cool. Yeah. Well, if people want to follow you and see how you get on for the rest of the season, where can they find you on? Is Instagram the best bet?
Instagram's the best bet. It kind of got links to everywhere from there. So that's at Miss Winton.
Yeah.
That's me.
Awesome.
There. Bit of chat, see if this little broken soul can get through the last two.
Oh, I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can. Well, good stuff. Thanks for sitting down and having a chat. It's been really nice to catch up.
Thanks for coming.
And looking forward to seeing you with a smile on your face for the last couple of rounds and back where you belong.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, that's it for our episode with Katie Winton. I hope you enjoyed listening. If you did, then head over to our website, downtimepodcast.com, and make sure you get subscribed. You'll get every episode delivered to your device as soon as it's available. Also, if you want to support the podcast, you can help us out by grabbing yourself a t-shirt from our web store, again, over on downtimepodcast.com. It helps us keep the podcast free and keeps us doing what we're doing. All right, we'll have another great episode coming up for you soon, but until then, get out and ride.